Thank you, friends, for returning to segment two of this special edition of The Bigger Picture. My name is Marshall Wood. I am the host for this program. And because of some past experiences I've had militarily as an Air Force pilot and as a student of the Bible and as a pretty aggressive reader of good current events with a good library, I have a compulsion to share with the people who are listening right now, who are kind enough to listen, my understanding of what's happening right now, because I flew in the Arab-Israeli War in October of 1973, the Yom Kippur War, and I have some understandings about why things are happening now that not too many other people are going to have. So I'm offering this as opinion. Let me underscore that. This is opinion, but it is a very unique opinion. I'm speaking as if I'm speaking to trusted, intimate friends who know my heart and know some of my background. And if you don't, I hope you'll just take my word for it, that though this is opinion, I believe this to the soles of my feet. I believe I'm speaking the truth, and I actually believe that God himself is inspiring me to say what I'm saying. Now, that's a pretty dangerous thing to say on air, particularly if you're concerned about being judged for idle words. But there are some things that have happened the last few weeks, particularly, that have, verified that, and you who have listened to this program are actually witnesses to it. I'm going to point that out to you. But let me tell you briefly about April of 1986. I'm not going to mention the country, but I was stationed in an Islamic country in Africa with the embassy in the capital city, and I reported there in early April of 1986, just after we had bombed Libya, and we had made the citizens of that country and almost all the other countries with any significant Muslim population, Islamic population, very angry. So almost immediately after my arrival, we were caught up in some civil unrest that was aimed at the embassy and at any Americans. One of our guys was actually shot in the head, and we were able to fly him to another country where he survived by God's grace, but it was an unpleasant time. We had to evacuate the country shortly after I got there, and to make a very long story short, I didn't return to set up operations in that city again until January. I did other things, let's just say, outside that particular country until I flew to England, picked up our airplane that we flew in that particular country, returned it home, and set up operations again. In April of 1987, I was doing the service that all the Christians in country attended. We were only allowed to have our service on Friday. It could only be held at the Anglican International Cathedral, a very historical cathedral in this town, under the auspices of the bishop of that large African city, and a different Christian lay pastor or Christian believer would take charge of the service and speak, and my turn had come around. So we there were probably about 100 people there. Most of them were, it was just a hodgepodge of all the denominations. You'd be surprised at how austerity and stress and persecution can bring disparate groups together. But all those who were marching under the banner of Christ met on Friday at the International Cathedral in this city to worship the Lord. And my text in my sermon that morning was 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Now, let me read to you what that says, 1 Corinthians 8, 6. It says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we in through him." Well, that actually was and I said it in the sermon, was a plagiarism by Muhammad to create the great Shahada of Islam. And the Shahada is the foundational doctrinal statement of Islam, and it is engraved above every mosque that I know of in the world. And it says there is, but I'm going to paraphrase it, there is but one God, Allah. Muhammad is his prophet. And then there's the other lesser known line that says, God has no children, God has no sons. And if you think about that, that's a direct rejection of the Christian faith, and is why one of the branches of Islam believes that in the latter days, Muhammad will hop out of a well and he'll have Jesus on a leash behind him, something to that effect. But the Shahada is a very, well, it is the foundational statement of Islam. And so when I said that all things were by the Lord Jesus Christ, that offended the three Muslim spies who were in the congregation, and they immediately rose and they walked out. It's very noticeable. Well, I was scheduled to return to the States a short time after I preached that sermon in this old historical cathedral. But on the day before I left, I was approached by the embassy security staff that told me that they suspected that a fatwa had been issued against me by the mufti, the local mufti there, which meant it was legal to kill me or do whatever a faithful Islamic could do that could get to me. But by God's grace and mercy, I left the country in one piece. But I said that to make this point. We have a lot of leaders that say Islam is a peaceful group of people. In the name of go along, get along, even, they pretend that Islam is something that it isn't. I can assure you, based on classified data that I saw in the Air Force, that I'm legally bound not to discuss, but I can tell you, I've seen it, that for reasons of what I read, Islam is intent on subjugating the world. Well, Woody, isn't that what Christians want to do? Yeah, that's what Christians want to do. We want to preach the gospel. But Christians give you a choice, okay? God gives us a choice. We can choose for him or against him. But with Islam, the way of submission is the way of the sword. And people are placed under Islam under threat. Either you submit or you die. And I told you the story that I told you because in Islamic countries, you don't have the freedom that we have in this country. And in this country, we have mosques and Islamic centers in almost every significant city in America. And we've got one even in Orange Park. But those places, every single one of them has a terrorist operative in there of some distinction, and they are connected to this worldwide web of subversion. And we need to remember that. In the final three segments of my show today, this emergency session of The Bigger Picture, we're going to talk about why I've interrupted things to make this special program. Come back, if you will, on the backside. God bless you.